I want to continue this morning a No Easy Faith series. Romans chapter 2 is where we'll begin. You know, that video, I hope you caught a lot of those things through that alphabet that describes who you are in Christ if you're in Christ, if you have Christ as your Savior. Romans chapter 2. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world. You know, that's an easy thing to do. It's easy to be conformed to the world because we live in the world. And the world's all around us. But God says, don't be conformed to the world. You see, that's why there's no easy faith. In order not to be conformed to the world, it takes faith. It takes faith to stand. It takes faith to not be attached to the world, which means conformed to the world. But then he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I can tell you, in order to be transformed, you need God's word. Because God's word is what transforms you. It's what renews your mind. And so he says, not only don't be conformed to the world, but he says, be transformed. You see, we have to be being transformed every day in order not to be conforming to the world. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you willing to be transformed? Are you willing to be transformed? You see, we can sit in church and say, oh, yes, Pastor, I'm willing to be transformed. Well, how do you do that? Are you really willing? Because just like faith takes effort, being transformed takes an effort. Transformation doesn't come by osmosis. You don't come into church and stand in church and get transformed. It doesn't work that way. You don't come into church and sit in these chairs and listen to me speak and get transformed by that alone. It might help. It might give you some clues and some tools how to be transformed. But it's up to you to be transformed. Are you willing to be transformed? Transformation is a big deal. Because you know what transformation means? Changed. Are you willing to be changed? Some of you that have been in church your whole life and you're set in your ways and you have ideas of how church, what it should look like, what it should sound like and feel like, are you willing to be changed? Are you willing to be changed? You see, transformed means to be changed. We need to be being changed every day. And we need to be changed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Amen. Verse 3, he says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, to everyone who is among you. Do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. He says, Paul said, I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Soberly means seriously. You know, you've probably heard the cliche, it said, don't take yourself too seriously. But that doesn't apply here. God says it very clearly. His word says, think soberly of yourself, seriously of yourself. You may not need to take yourself seriously, but you need to take God seriously. Because God is serious. No, he's not this big ogre czar with a big hammer ready to smash you. But he's serious about faith. He's serious about being transformed. He's serious about being changed by the power of God and the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And he says to each one, God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And so if you're a Christian and you've received Christ as your Savior, at that point, you're given a measure of faith. You're given a measure of faith. Amen. To each one, to each believer is given a measure of faith. So there's another question. I'm full of questions this morning. What are you doing with your measure of faith? If you're a Christian, what are you doing with your measure of faith? Are you using it? Are you using it to be transformed and not be conformed? Each one is given a measure of faith, and you're responsible for your measure of faith. Not your neighbor, not your friend, not your spouse, not your Bible leader. You're responsible for what you do with your measure of faith. And if all you do with your measure of faith is come to church once or twice a month and go about your business, your measure of faith is being wasted. It's being wasted. What are you wasting it on? Why are you wasting it? You've been given a measure of faith to nurture it, to grow it, to increase it, to build it by using God's word and God's presence in your life. So verses 4 through 8, Paul goes on to say, he begins to talk about the body of Christ. And he says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We are many members in one body, but all do not have the same function. Just as each one is given a measure of faith, each one is given a function in the kingdom of God. And those functions are not the same. Everyone doesn't have the same function. So being many are one in the body and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, what do we do with them? Let us use them. Let us use them. You might want to underline that in your Bible. Highlight it. Whatever you do, however you mark your Bible. Highlight it. I know if you're using an electronic device, there's a highlighting mechanism. Highlight that. Let us use them. God gives you a gift to use, not to put on a shelf, not to sit on. And then he breaks it down as into some specifics. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. There's that measure of faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality or generosity. He who leads with diligence. And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You see, God gives every believer a measure of faith. And he also gives gifts as he sees fit. And he expects very clearly us to use those gifts. And you see, it takes faith to use your gift. It takes faith to use your gift, to step out and to walk in your gifting, to move and operate in your gifting. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. Paul writes about the unity and the diversity in the body of Christ. The unity and the diversity in the body of Christ. Verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The body has many members, but you've been, as a Christian, you've been baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. And we're to drink of that same Holy Spirit. In other words, to be filled with that same Holy Spirit. He says, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. The body is not one member, but many. We are a part of the body of Christ. This is a body, a part of the body of Christ, of Heart Cry Chapel. Look around. It's okay, look around. Don't stare at someone, just look. You're looking at the many members of one body. And then this many members, Heart Cry Chapel, is just one part of the bigger body of Christ. But it's made up of many members. The body is not one, but many. And then he illustrates why. So I wanted you to look around, because as you look around, each face you saw is important. It's important to the body of Christ. It's important to this church, but it's important to the body of Christ at large. Because he says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. God has set each one of you who are Christians in the body just as he pleased. You might think, well, I just kind of stumbled in here, Pastor. No, you didn't. It was not an accident. It's not an accident. And you didn't just stumble into the body of Christ. You've been placed here for a reason and a purpose. You see, what happens sometimes is somebody says, well, I want to do this because I see them do that and I want to do that. Or I want to be this because I see them and I like that and I want to be that. God has put you and gifted you just as he pleased. Amen. He's made you as you are, not as he is. And that's how he wants you to operate and function, the way he's gifted you and the place and where he's placed you. Amen. I mean, I look at the worship team up here, and I think, I want to sing. Boy, that'd be a disaster. He didn't call me to sing, and he sure didn't gift me to sing. What are you nodding your head about? Just in agreement, okay. It's true. But that's funny, but it's an illustration. He didn't gift me to sing. I wish he would have. So I make a not-so-joyful noise and blend in. But you see, this is what the Scripture is telling us. He didn't gift me, and he didn't call me to be on the worship team. He called me to preach. And he called some of you to teach. And we're going to find out in a minute, he called all of us to do some things. And so, if I say, my foot says, well, I'm not a hand, so I'm just going to fall off, what happens? You don't walk real well. You don't stand real well. And see, that's what he's saying. You say, because I can't sing, I'm not a part of the body, well, that's foolish. If you say, I don't preach, so I'm not a part of the body, I don't teach, so I'm not a part of the body, that's foolish. That's foolishness. He says every part is important. That's how he designed it. True. The Bible speaks to comparison. And what happens is, comparison is from the enemy. He wants you to compare yourself against someone else or with someone else. You say, well, I'm not as good as they are, so I'm just not going to do anything. See, that's how the devil works. It's how the enemy works. God has gifted you, each one of you who are Christians, in some way. And when you're born again and saved, he's given you a measure of faith to operate in that gift that he gives you. Amen. You know, I said, well, I don't know what my gift is. Well, that's why you get in the Word. Amen. That's why you study and you learn about those things of God. You can't know the things of God if you don't learn the things of God. And these are the things of God. There's a lot of people who think of this as, and especially unbelievers, as just a bunch of rules. That's hogwash. It's a user manual for life. Amen. You know, just like some people take a cookbook and they use a cookbook to cook and they put the recipes together. And it comes out pretty well. You know what? This is God's recipe for life. Amen. This is God's recipe for life. And there's some good recipes in here. Yeah. So that we come out better than we come in. And so every part of the body is important. He goes on to say, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. I want you to remember that. And if, verse 19, if they were all one member, where would the body be? In other words, if everybody was a hand, he said in Romans, everybody was a mouth, there'd just be a lot of talking. You see, there's a diversity of gifts for the purposes of God. But now indeed, there are many members and one body. We don't fly solo. There's many individual different members. That's why I had you look around. But we don't fly solo. It's one body. We fly together. We're stronger together. When you try to fly solo, guess what? You're subjecting yourself to the easy prey of the enemy. Think about a flock of sheep or whatever. You watch... can't remember the name of the program now, but all these animals, and they show the predators as they prey. And guess what? When one of the animals, whether it's a deer or whatever it is, gets out of the flock and tries to go solo, they're easy prey for the enemy. And it's true for us too. That's why he says, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. Attach yourself to the body. You're an important part of the body. You may not think you're important, but you're important. And he says, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And if the eye cannot say, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. You may think you're insignificant in the body of Christ. The word says you're necessary. Did you listen to that video, the ABCs, that told you who you are? That's everybody who's a believer. That's how God describes you. That's how he sees you. And those members of the body which think to be less honorable, on these bestow greater honor. And our presentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body. You see that? God composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacks it. He gives honor to each part of the body because each part is necessary. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. The word schism means division. You see, he puts the body together and says there should be no division. The body, all the body parts work together. Think of your own body. God used practical illustrations all through the Bible. Think of your own body. If one organ is not working right, it affects the whole body. If one limb, if one part of the body is not functioning right, it affects the whole body. And it's true in the church as well. It's true in the church as well. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We don't envy. We don't get jealous. We rejoice with one another. We hurt with one another. And he says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Each individual member makes up the body of Christ as a whole. There's no insignificant parts. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. You know, the purpose of this message is to express to you that the body of Christ needs you. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. The body of Christ needs you, and there's a place for you. There's a place for you to use your faith, and there's a place for you to use your gifting. God designed it that way. Now, some people lack the confidence to use their gifting, and that's okay. We're here to encourage each other. But you know what the biggest issue in the church is? When it comes to each part doing their part, each part being significant, I'm just going to be blunt. It's laziness. It's spiritual laziness. We've been given a measure of faith, and we've been gifted, and we do nothing with it. We don't contribute. You know what happens if you don't use, if I didn't use my arm for 6 months? It'd just hang limp. I'd have to do this. That's what happens with your faith and your gifting. It becomes useless. God did not design it that way. Amen. Everyone has a part and everyone can do a part. You may not think so, but you know what? Sometimes you have to step out in faith. That's why there's no easy faith. Sometimes you have to step out in faith when you know God's calling you to something, and then you just depend on Him to equip you to do it. Amen. You don't wait till He's got you all prepared and ready to go, and then, okay, I think I got all this. Now I'm going to step out. No, right. He doesn't work that way. We've had an awesome example of that this morning. Shirley's on vacation. Arian was one of our on our vocal team, but she also has some gifting in other areas. And she was willing to step up because we didn't have anyone. She stepped in and is leading worship. And you know what? God equipped her to do it. And we're not pumping people up. Don't miss the point. The point is she had to step out in faith and say, okay, God, I know you're calling me to do this. You equip me. Amen. I want to have a young lady come and share testimony about her experience in doing that, stepping out in faith, and how it's affected her life. Kristen, would you come? This is Kristen Ramirez. She's a member of our adult youth team. And I've watched God do amazing things in her life because she was willing to sacrifice time and effort and trust her faith and trust God.
So he actually told you my maiden name. I am married now. So I'm Kristen Holmes. Oh, leave some suspense, I guess. So actually shortly after I got married, I felt a calling that God wanted to do more. And so Leonard, at the end of his sermon for a couple Sundays, had been asking for involvement with our youth. And I toyed back and forth, if I'll be completely honest with you guys. Much like what Pastor Leonard was just kind of telling you guys is my testimony, because I said, what am I going to do with youth? Like, yes, I look very young, but I haven't been in high school in a hot minute, so how am I going to relate to these kids at all? And I don't have all my affairs in order. I'm by no means my background is in medicine, so I'm not equipped at that time or felt like I was equipped to speak or even have an authority of telling kids what to do in their life, because I barely wanted people to tell me when I was that age what to do with mine. But in stepping out in faith and speaking to somebody who is a spiritual mentor to me, I had to realize that I needed to get serious in my own relationship with Christ. And, you know, that has not only flourished in helping with the youth, but in my own personal life and my walk and my marriage, because, you know, not everything is perfect and it's not supposed to be. And we don't have to be perfect in order to speak into these kids' lives. And it does take a courage and a measure of, you know, paying back to your community. And you all are my community. And these kids that we see on Sundays or on Wednesdays, or even when we are doing outreach and activities, a lot of these children, we are the only touch that they have to Jesus Christ. And so going outside of myself and stepping outside of my personal comfort zone of just wanting to stick to clinical stuff and actually speaking to the heart of issues, which, you know, you have a God who loves you and wants to see the best for you. And life is not perfect. And I know Leonard was talking about it a couple sermons ago. You know, happiness is a fleeting feeling. And so these kids that we see and we speak to on Wednesday nights, they don't know necessarily what a platonic mother and father family situation is, right? They don't know what the expectation in society is for them. They just know what's dictated through social media and the masses, the world. But we're the difference when they come in on Wednesdays, because they get to see that. And I think myself, and I can speak about every other youth that member that helps, like JT, and, you know, from being there to just serving them with food or speaking into their lives, like Lori and a couple of our other, I don't know if, wave for me, there he is. We've got amazing group, and I think I can speak on behalf of everyone in the fact that we get more out of it than I think sometimes the kids, because we get to plant these little seeds, and sometimes we get to see, reap what, you know, we've sown kind of deal. And sometimes, you know, maybe it's later on in life, but getting that ability to just plant the seeds with these kids and stepping out in faith and saying, hey, I don't necessarily know. Honestly, when I told Leonard I'd help, I thought I just had to do some setup and, like, you know, feed pizza to kids. And then he was like, by the way, you're going to go with the high school girls. And I was like, right, okay, sure. That's where I need to be, sure. But I have absolutely loved the high school girls, and there's one of my girls there, Emily, and just seeing you guys grow and all of the youth, it's an amazing thing. And if God is calling you to take a step out, do it in faith. I mean, if you feel like you need to work with kids or if you just want to get involved, speak to somebody in the church. We would love to have you. Personally, I would love to have you in the youth, and we do more than just pizza, I promise. But I would say it's one of the most rewarding things that you can do in your life, to be completely honest.
So there's no easy faith. It takes faith to step out, as Kristen did. And that's what God is calling all of us to do, because He's placed each one in the body of Christ as He has pleased. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. You know, there's a whole lot there. But that's an illustration of what was just shared in this testimony. God has reconciled believers to Himself. Reconciled means to bring into agreement or to come into harmony with. And through Jesus Christ, God reconciles believers to Himself. He brings believers into agreement with Him and into harmony with Him. But He doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. He says, not imputing their trespasses to them, He has committed to us. Who's us? Look around again. Look around again. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. God is making His appeal through you. Are you allowing it? Are you accepting it? God is making His appeal through you. God was making His appeal through Kristen, and she stepped into that. Not being prepared or equipped, She did it by faith. And you've heard her say how it's had caused her to grow in her faith in her life. And you see, that's how God works. That's how God works. He, God, is making his appeal through you. Are you willing to be that ambassador? Are you willing to be that servant? Worship team, would you come up? Are you willing to be someone that's willing to step out in faith and be a hand, be a foot, be an ear, be an eye, be a mouth, be a part of the body of Christ that he has set you in as he pleases? Are you willing? You see, that's why I ask you in the beginning, when he said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed means change. Are you willing to be changed? Are you willing to be moved off your comfort seat? And be who and what he's called you to be. As Kristen shared, it caused transformation in her life. It caused her to get serious about her faith. It caused her to grow in her faith simply because she was willing to be a hand or a finger or a foot or whatever God was pleased for her to be. And it's true for each one of us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. That's truth. It's always truth. It always will be truth. Thank you for your word that really transforms. But before it transforms, it redeems and restores. Have you been redeemed this morning by the blood of Christ? Redeemed? Yes. Brought back, made new through faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it all starts there. It all starts there. That's where faith begins. Because you get reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. You get made right. You get brought into right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The word says, by grace through faith, you're saved. And that not of yourself. Can't work for it. Can't earn it. Can't be good enough. You just have to receive it by faith. You repent. You ask God to forgive you of your sin. And by faith, you receive that forgiveness. And you're imparted with a measure of faith at that moment that you believe. You're reconciled to God at that moment that you believe. Do it, and do it now if you've not. What are you waiting for? The sand is running through the hourglass of this world. And before long, all the sand will run out. Don't wait. Don't wait before it's too late. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, people would come to faith right now today in this place. And I pray, God, that others would begin to use their faith by studying, reading your word. And they would begin to grow their faith and then begin to use their faith as you've called each one of us to do. Help each person here to recognize that you have set them in the body of Christ, in just the place and the way that you've pleased. And that's not to sit on a chair, but it's to move and to be in Him. And to move and to do the things through Him that He calls you to do. God, help us to be a strong body, that all the parts are being transformed, all the parts are growing, all the parts are moving, and all the parts are working together for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.